This is going to be very, very interesting. We've been calling this LeBron Eve tonight here on the show. So who better to talk to than somebody who we've talked to about the LeBron situation for a good chunk of the way as it's unfolded? Our good friend Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York. He is on Middays, the Evan and Joe show. Welcome to the program. Good to have you back, Evan. How are you tonight, my man?
I know I'm better than you. I sense the nervousness in your voice.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to give a little sneak preview, since you mentioned that, to the peeps. I am unveiling a 1201 on the FDHLounge.com, the official FDH Lounge odds for all of the top free agents, not just LeBron. Here are your official odds for LeBron. Cavs 5-1, Bulls 6-1, Heat 8-1, Knicks 10-1, Field 50-1. You're in the field, Evan. You were at Nets 20-1, but you faded back to the field. How's that feel?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you could take your odds, and I don't know what you're going to do with it, but they don't mean anything to me, and I'll tell you why. I've been talking to some people, and I'm not just saying this as a Net fan. Adrian Wojnarowski, Yahoo Sports, I think a very good NBA guy, and the belief right now is the Nets have a better chance at LeBron James than the Knicks. Now, that doesn't mean the Nets are getting him. Doesn't mean he's definitely leaving Cleveland. But all signs are pointing to the fact that the Nets have moved up that totem pole. So I don't know where you get your odds from, but you could take the odds and you could shove them, to be honest with you, because I'm telling you, the Nets are in this, and you should be afraid of them. I'm telling you right now, you should be afraid of Mikhail Prokhorov and Jay-Z. You should be.
Couple things on that, Evan. First of all, the best beat writer in the country, Brian Windhorst, Cavs beat writer for the Plain Dealer today, very credible guy, writes for ESPN. I think he's nationally respected. He was saying today he was running through all the reasons he thinks the Nets aren't in it. I don't think we've talked to you since the lottery here, Evan, but it pretty much sucks that when it looks like you're going to be number one and get one of the players of a generation, you got the third pick in a two-team draft. Sucks to be you.
Yes. You jerk. You're right, though. I mean, you're 100% right. It absolutely sucks. And I got to be honest. I thought that the Nets needed a few things to happen to get LeBron James. Win the lottery, which, as you eloquently pointed out, we did not. Get a big-time coach that would cause LeBron to think twice. They didn't do that. Avery Johnson's a nice coach, but he's not Phil Jackson. And the third thing was Brooklyn needed to be ready, which we've known for a long time wasn't going to happen. So I've kind of been under the impression the Nets didn't have a chance at LeBron James, but it changed about 2 days ago because I've heard about the pitch Prokhorov is sending in a few hours in Akron. The fact that we have the first meeting, the fact that Jay-Z is going to be at the meeting, because I didn't think Jay-Z was going to be involved in this. I thought Jay-Z, especially if he knew he wasn't going to get LeBron, I thought he was going to just, you know, continue to be on his tour and not really get involved, because I think he doesn't want to be portrayed as a guy who lost. So I'm kind of with you, or at least I was with you, but in all seriousness, I've heard that this Prokhorov billionaire spiel that he's going to give LeBron James, and the fact that Jay-Z's there, I think it puts him in play, despite all the things that went against him, the lottery, Newark. I really do think, I mean, I don't think they're the favorites. I think they got a puncher's chance, and from all signs, it appears they have a better chance than the Knicks.
Well, that's very interesting. I will tell you this, though. If you're pegging anything on Adrian Wojnarowski and his reporting, given that his two top tools in reporting are a bucket of feces and a wall,
wow.
I don't know if I'd be feeling really good.
Wow! Yeah. That is... Well, I'm not really basing everything on one report because, as you would know, the reporting has been horrible on this story. It has been. We could agree on that.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. He's going to the Bulls. It's a done deal. He's going to Miami. Nobody actually knows what's going to happen. I think we could agree with that. I honestly don't think LeBron's made a decision. I think he's going into these meetings and he needs to get blown away. And, you know, if he gets blown away by Prokhorov, or he gets blown away by the idea of playing with Derrick Rose and Chris Bosh coming with him, or he falls in love with the idea of a dream team in Miami, or if he realizes that he doesn't want to leave his hometown, I think he'll make his decision based on that. So I think the reporting in this whole thing has been an embarrassment to reporting, because I do generally agree that most reporters have just guessed. I really do believe that, especially when you hear, this is a done deal, that's a done deal. It is infuriating, and it should piss you off more than anybody as a Cavs fan.
It does. It does. And
it should.
And I've been asked about, you know, how much stock I put in Screamin' A's latest report, and I've said about as much as anything else he ever says, which is to say nothing. But I have to ask you this. Our senior producer, Steve Servillo, just IM'd a little bit ago here. He wants to get your take on this. He says, you got to ask Evan about the Russian spies that got caught. Are they working for Prokhorov to get the dope on LeBron?
I think that's very possible. I definitely think that Prokhorov was sleeping with the hot one, who, I don't know if you've seen a picture, but boy, oh boy, she could spy on me anytime, I'll tell you that. I think it's possible. I think, see, that's the, that in all seriousness, I know I'm probably portrayed as a homer because I'm a Net fan, so I'm going to build him up. And I understand, that's fair, I probably am a homer. But you have to wonder about a guy who's gotten everything he's wanted his entire life. This is a billionaire. This is a guy that's never failed at anything. So, you know what? I wouldn't put it past him having spies in LeBron James's bathroom, for all I know. I wouldn't put anything past a Russian billionaire, and I think that's what makes the Nets dangerous, because you're right, they've had a lot of things go against them, the lottery in Brooklyn and all that. This guy is dangerous. And do you know, I don't know if everybody knows this out there in Cleveland or around the country, do you know what Prokhorov did with the billboard outside Madison Square Garden? Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Him and Jay-Z outside MSG. Talk about that.
Oh, my God. War's been declared. They have a billboard right outside Madison Square Garden on 34th and 8th. It's a picture of Jay-Z and Prokhorov. And, yeah, they left enough room if they need to add a third picture of, say, I don't know, LeBron James. And it says the blueprint, I think it's the blueprint for success, or the blueprint for greatness, I think was the exact term. Obviously, it's a takeoff on Jay-Z's latest album. But they put it right outside Madison Square Garden. And I have heard that Dolan and the Knicks are pissed. Now, there's really nothing they can do about it. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, the Prokhorov bought billboard space outside of Madison Square Garden. So I think it's a sign that this guy's for real, that he's ready to go to war. And the only way to ever win the hearts and minds of New Yorkers, because the Knicks are such the first team in this city, is to do something that's going to just shake the foundation. And getting LeBron James would do that. So I think he's committed to this. I don't think they're the favorites. My odds are different than yours, but I definitely think the Nets are up in the top three. I'd say Bulls, Cavs, Heat, Nets. I don't think the Knicks are involved anymore.
Well, you know, the impotence of the Dolan family is not something that has to be explained to me as an Indians fan. I suffer through that all summer long. So, yeah.
That's right.
That's an established act in this city, no question about it. Now, let me ask you this though about Prokhorov. You know, and you know, try, you know, to the greatest extent you can, try to put on the analyst hat here as far as what you see, as far relative to the fan hat. But I mean, you look at this guy, you'd have to admit it could go one of two ways here. On the one side of the spectrum, you got Mark Cuban. I don't think I'm being a homer by saying Dan Gilbert, because Dan Gilbert just signs big checks and gets out of the way.
Absolutely.
And then on the other side, you got Jerry Jones, you got Daniel Snyder, you got pricks like that that just want to throw their weight around and, you know, be involved and everything like that. What kind of vibes are you getting from this guy? Because that's going to tell, you know, regardless of whether or not he gets LeBron on the dotted line, okay, that doesn't guarantee a championship, as I well know. You got to have the right kind of owner, the right kind of way that your money's being used. Which way do you see him going as of now, or is it too soon to tell?
I think it's definitely too soon to tell. I think as a Net fan, you're excited because the Nets have really had cheap owners their entire history. I mean, this is a franchise that sold Julius Erving. So the fact that he's rich makes him good to us right off the bat. But you're right. This just because he talks a big game, and he talks a big game. I mean, this is a guy who's not only said the Nets are going to win a title in 5 years, he said he's going to build a dynasty. Now, that's some pretty big talk right there. You know, it's one thing to win a championship, which this team's never won in the NBA. It's another thing to build a dynasty. So he talks a big game, and he's got a lot of money. But this is a sport that's run by the salary cap, and if you make one or two bad moves, it could kill you for years. Just ask the Detroit Pistons with their stupidity during last offseason when they signed Villanueva and Gordon. The way, I'll give you something that concerns me, and this is just all rumors. I'm sure everybody heard about the Chris Paul stuff and that the Nets were making an offer, Devin Harris and the number three pick, which turned out to be Derek Favors. I heard that the Hornets were ready to trade Paul to the Nets if the Nets took back Emeka Okafor. And I heard Rob Thorne was willing to do it. And rightfully so. I mean, yeah, Okafor's got an awful contract, but you have a chance to get a franchise player in Chris Paul. And Prokhorov was against it because he wanted to have the maximum amount of cap room to go after LeBron James. Now, it's great that he's got these big thoughts. but it's also dangerous because, I mean, I don't know if that opportunity is going to come again to get a guy like Chris Paul. And there's a good chance that the Nets offseason, if they strike out on LeBron, which, let's face it, they probably do, they're not getting a guy as good as Chris Paul. They're just not. I mean, no offense to Amari Stoudemire or David Lee or anybody like that, but if Chris Paul's healthy, he's one of the elite players in the sport. So, like, a decision like that concerns me because from a basketball standpoint, it's probably best to just go out and make the safe move, which is getting CP3 and not, you know, go banking on LeBron James. So, you know, something like that concerns me, but when you're a franchise that has just been a laughingstock and has had just cheap owner after cheap owner, our last owner, Bruce Radnor, all he cared about was moving to Brooklyn. He didn't care about anything else. He got rid of Kenyon Martin. Turned out to be a good move, but he only did it because he was cheap. So seeing a guy with a lot of money right off the bat seems like a good sign. But you're right. I mean, anything can happen. He could turn into a disaster. But so far, so good with this guy.
Well, I understand your emotions. I understand the invigoration of money. I mean, Dan Gilbert in this town followed freaking Gordo Gund, okay? So I hear you on that. I know what the invigoration of money is like, you know, and I can't blame you for feeling that way. But as you look at this, and I agree with you, by the way, on CP3, easily a top five player in the league, somebody who I don't think there's a lot of daylight necessarily between him and LeBron on that top tier if he's healthy. Now, there's a question on that, I suppose. But
right.
And I thought that CP3 got hosed in the MVP voting when the writers, you know, gave the Lifetime Achievement Award to Kobe a couple of years back. So, yeah, I agree with you. I would have done that deal. Now, having said that, with Favors being the pick there, and again, you're somebody who, and God knows you suffered this last year watching this as you did, but watching the team as you do, I can't think of anybody that could give me a better breakdown on this than you. It strikes me from a distance, you guys really, really, really needed wing players maybe more than anything else here, and yet you go draft a four.
Well, I think what happened here, and it was a horrible situation. I mean, the lottery sucked. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. You know, as devastated as one can be, that's how I felt that night. I mean, I was just, you didn't want to talk to me that night. It was horrible. And I wanted Evan Turner or John Wall. Obviously, John Wall's the guy. But the problem is, when the Nets are picking a three and you look at that draft, Wes Johnson's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be a good NBA player. But they saw Derek Favors, even though he may not necessarily fit, especially with most of the realistic free agents being fours, but they looked at Derek Favors as two things. A, the guy with the most potential to be a superstar outside of the top two, and B, the most tradable commodity. And I think there is still a very good chance that Derek Favors never plays a game for the New Jersey Nets, that he ends up being traded. So I think when Rod made this decision, he looked at it in those two ways and said, Wes Johnson's a nice player, but at number three, I'd rather get the guy, even though we're probably going to fill the four in free agency, I'd rather get the guy that's got the most potential to be a star. I don't think Wes Johnson's ever going to be a star. He's a nice player, be a good NBA player, and fits the Nets probably better, but I think the potential of Favors was higher. Plus, I think he got word around the league that if he's going to work out, say, a sign-and-trade down the road with, say, the Raptors or something like that, and a Bosch dealer, a Chris Paul trade or a Carmelo trade, which I think is probably not going to happen, Favors would be the guy with the most value. So I think that's why they did it. And I support the pick. I thought that was the right move to make.
Well, that's an interesting perspective on it. You guys also ended up making a deal here, moving a thing. It's funny how the worlds of sports and sports entertainment lead to absolutes like this. You know, you've got Dave Bautista, the world's biggest Filipino. You guys had the world's biggest three in Yi Jianlin, and you just moved him there. So thoughts on moving the world's biggest three?
You know, I got to tell you something. This is a bigger deal than people make it out. Let me tell you why. This is my theory here, and it goes back to LeBron. Dion Leon sucks, okay? You know that. I know that. Anybody who's watched basketball for 5 minutes knows that he sucks. He's an embarrassment. He's soft. He's terrible. I don't care how old he is, all right? But the Nets loved them because of globalization. China. I mean, they used to have, like, these Chinese heritage nights. The place wouldn't be packed, but there'd be a lot of people that would show up just to see E. They used to do a lot of promotions around E. And when Prokhorov bought the Nets, he talked about E, about how valuable E is. Can you imagine if E took on Yao Ming in China? It would be crazy. So they value E, obviously, more than he does as a player. I think the fact they traded him shows you how serious they are about adding big-time free agents, that they're willing to give up the continent of China, even though he stinks, to get more cap room. And they got more cap room. They ended up saving $3 million out of it when they dealt him for Quentin Ross. So, in a weird way, trading that stiff showed you how serious Prokhorov and the crew are about getting a guy like LeBron, because they would give up on the continent of China. And I'm so happy they did, because E was painful to watch.
Well, let me ask you this, and again, you know, we've spent the lion's share of time here talking about LeBron tonight, but this wouldn't be near LeBron. In my estimation, I still have him as the number one player in the league. I'm not going to revise everything just based on him having a subpar playoffs. But regardless of whether you consider him one or two, okay, this wouldn't be nearly as big of a deal if it was just him. We have, by my estimation, 8 of the top 16 players in the league that are going to be out there on the market here. Maybe about 10 of the top 30. Tell me what you think here as far as, you know, looking at it from the Nets' point of view, and also to whatever extent you're gleaning locally from the Knicks here, plan B, plan C, plan D for the teams involved.
Well, first of all, I think that Knicks fans and Nets fans, and I think a lot of basketball fans agree that if we selfishly don't get LeBron, we want him to go back to Cleveland. Because I think that him going to Miami and causing this dream team of sorts would be bad for the NBA. I think it would be. Him going to Chicago is annoying. I grew up in the 90s having to deal with all those Bulls front runners. So I think we all agree, and I hope you like this, we want him to go back to Cleveland if we're not getting him. You know, it's a good story. It's not good for the guy to leave Cleveland anyway. Your city's going to be in ruins if he left. We do kind of feel bad about that. The Nets are in better shape than the Knicks, mainly because the Knicks have banked everything on free agency. The Nets haven't. Now, their rebuilding process is going to be slower if they don't get LeBron James, but they do have a point guard in Devin Harris who went to the All-Star game 2 years ago, though I do think he's overrated. They do have a young center in Brook Lopez. Terrence Williams is developing. They could develop with Derek Favors. They have a lot of draft picks over the next couple of years they could package in a deal. They could sign another free agent, say Rudy Gay, who I think would be a serious, serious guy the Nets will be going after if they don't get a LeBron or a guy like that. I think they will get a power forward like a David Lee, who I prefer, because I think if they're going to keep Favors eventually, you would hope, is going to be the starting power forward. So to invest big on Amari may not be the way to go. The Knicks are in trouble because the Knicks banked everything on this. You know, they've been clearing cap room for years. And Gallinari I like, and he's a nice player. Same thing with Wilson Chandler. But their core is whoever they end up signing. They don't have a lot of tradable commodities. I mean, they're going to try to package Eddie Curry somewhere. He is an expiring contract. I think the Knicks target Joe Johnson. If Atlanta's offering him the max deal like the rumors suggest, he probably goes back to Atlanta. He's a Southern kid. But the Knicks the Knicks situation's tough because they also only have 4 guys under contract. Let's have a few more guys under contract. So I think it's more interesting what happens to the Knicks and how they attack this. It sounds like Johnson, Stoudemire would be kind of the combo they'd go after. There are still guys they could deal for. I'm sure Philly would love to dump Andre Iguodala, Gilbert Arenas, the Wizards would look to dump. I mean, these are not guys that are going to excite Knicks fans, but they're gettable guys, and they do have to fill out a roster because they only have 4 guys under contract. So the plan B for the Nets, I think, is Gay, David Lee. I think the plan B for the Knicks is Joe Johnson, Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, I hear you, and that's the thing, too. I mean, LeBron's going to want to be sold on the opportunity to win, and if you're the Knicks saying we can surround you with a megastar and 8 guys from the D-League, that ain't really going to get it done. To a certain extent, even in Miami, I actually buy the whole notion that those 3 guys in Miami, the 3 to keep getting talked about here, I guess if you hang on to Beasley, that makes it another story, but you're still looking at something that's frightfully thin beyond them.
I totally agree with you, and I honestly think, though it's bad for the NBA, and I think it's going to be bad for the NBA because all these teams will have lost in free agency, and I think that would lead to sagging ticket sales at the beginning of the year, I do not think that's a lock to win an NBA championship. In fact, I think that has disaster written all over it for a couple of reasons. A, Pat Riley's coming back till he gets bored. B, you're 100% right. They're going to have no money to fill out the rest of that roster. They're going to have 9 D-League guys around James, Wade, and Bosch. I mean, I understand those are 3 superstars. Really, 2 superstars. I don't know about Bosch. I think he's a very good player, but I don't know. I don't know if you could win like that. And the other thing is, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James have huge egos. And that's always going to be Dwayne Wade's team. And I'll give you this comparison I mentioned on the air. That's A-Rod and Jeter all over again. A-Rod's clearly better than Jeter. We get it. It's Jeter's Yankees. You know, and when A-Rod came in, he was just this really great player that was joining Jeter's team. I don't care how great LeBron is. That's Dwayne Wade's team.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. It's like if Kobe Bryant came to the Cavs. It's LeBron's team. Nothing's going to change that. Wade's already won him a title. And I think that relationship could get testy. You know, I really could. I mean, it's an ego thing, and I think when LeBron realizes, wait a second, I'm not the man here. This is Dwayne Wade's team. I don't know how well that situation would go. I think that is such a mistake for LeBron James on so many levels if he decides to team up with those guys in Miami. I think it would end badly. It's not good for – I don't think anything good comes out of it because it's not good for the league. No. And I don't think it's going to work out for the Heat, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think so either. What's really interesting here too, I mean, this entire situation, it's interesting because as I was listening to Brian Windhorst with his podcast on Cleveland.com today, he's correct in saying that the fundamentals of the story really haven't changed all the way through, even as you get to July 1st. But what's interesting is how some of the details in the picture have changed. For example, you and I have on many occasions spoken of the option of, okay, LeBron may go back to Cleveland 3 years, then maybe Jet in 3 years. As things have become more and more and more crystal clear with the next CBA and the ramifications here of the amount of money involved, I think we can all agree one of the least likely scenarios now is the one that I thought was the most likely a couple months back, LeBron for 3 years in Cleveland. I think he either signs here for 5 or 6 years to exploit the financial difference other teams can't give him with the Bird rights, or he goes. I don't think the three as a half measure cuts it anymore.
Yeah, I think you may be right about that. You know, I think LeBron James is going to have to think about this and make a decision for the rest of his career. Does he really want to be that guy that every 3 years is thinking about where he's going to play next? I mean, it's just, this whole process is not helping his reputation. And to be honest with you, the only thing that's going to save his reputation is going back to the Cavaliers. Because no matter where he goes, if he leaves, he's going to be construed as just a villain.
Yeah.
In Cleveland and everywhere else. So I kind of agree with it. Look, I don't know what's going through this guy's mind. He shouldn't have to worry about the CBA and how much money he could make 3 years down the road because he's going to be one of the richest guys in the world anyway, between endorsements and what have you. So even if they restrict how much money he can make 3 years from now, I don't think that's a big deal. But we're going to learn a lot about this guy because no matter where he goes, it's going to be an indication of his personality. If he goes to Miami, he's concerned about his dream team. If he goes to Chicago, I think it gives him a great chance to win. If he stays in Cleveland, he's loyal. If he comes to the Knicks, it's about New York City. If he comes to the Nets, it's about globalization. So it's going to be interesting to see what he ends up deciding, and then we'll draft this. We'll have all these aspersions about his personality once he decides.
Well, I got to tell you, Evan, and I've said before, I'm going to be obviously very disappointed if he goes. I'm not going to be burning my jersey or anything like that. You know, I'm going to try and take it like a man. But I will tell you this. The one way where I could actually work up a really good hate-on for the guy is if he plays the better chance to win card as he goes somewhere else because he's held this team hostage for 7 years. It's been a short-term kind of a thing, but I'll tell you what, Danny Ferry has turned water into wine here for 7 years, putting around him what he's put around him, and I maintain they had a good enough team to win it all. I blame it on coaching problems in the playoffs here. You know, I think, again, yeah, that would be poor character, would it not, to blame him?
Yeah, but you know what? Let's be honest. If he leaves, what do you think he's going to say? He's not. If he signed with the Knicks, do you think he's going to say it's because it's New York City? He's going to say, yeah, part of that will be it. But no matter where he goes, he will bring out the winning card because LeBron can't admit he's going somewhere and winning isn't the priority. He's always said he's going wherever he has the best chance to win. So you may not like it, but no matter where he goes, that's going to be his explanation wrong.
That would be poor character if it were phrased in that way because, again, any deficiencies they have had in terms of getting to that point have been because they've had to cater to him, and that's an abdication of responsibility if he plays that card.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I understand. But you know this. No matter where he – well, let's say he did sign with the Nets. Do you think he's going to sit there and say it's because of globalization, it's because I want to be a billionaire? He would never say that.
Yeah.
He'd say Brooke Lopez, Devin Harris, and I trust the owner. That would be his argument. He's never going to admit the real reason he went somewhere.
Okay. I know. I hear
but
you.
But don't you think he has a better chance to win with the Bulls, in your opinion? Isn't that the best team he has a chance to win with?
You know what? Let me just say this, though. I am going to vomit – if I hear one more time the name Joakim Noah get thrown out as part of the justification. Derrick Rose, I hear you. If they hang on to Deng, he's useful in ways, I hear you. He's got Anderson Varejao right now, okay? Joakim Noah is not the second coming. I am sick of hearing about this guy. If anybody ever thinks he's going to be a 2010 guy.
I'm with you about that. I would never mention Joakim Noah in the sentence of being an elite player he wants to play with.
Everybody is.
They could give you two max players plus Derrick Rose. I would be concerned about LeBron and Rose playing together.
Oh, no.
I don't necessarily know that's going to work. Both needs the ball in their hands. So I don't think anything's a sure thing. I don't think anything's perfect. If he really wants to win, shouldn't he just take the mid-level exception and play with the Lakers?
Yeah, true.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
And again, I don't, I'm probably going to imply that I'm, you know, subletting all of my opinions here from Brian Windhorst of the Plain Dealer, but I think he makes an excellent point. The Bulls traded away the one shooter that they had. LeBron needs to be traded by shooters. Who on that Bulls team, unless they sign Joe Johnson as the other free agent, are you going to fear from the perimeter? And Derrick Rose and LeBron both need a ball.
That's a good point you make. Where does he have the best chance to win then? I mean, is it really staying in Cleveland? Your team, no offense, doesn't have the wiggle room to make a lot of moves anymore.
There is talk. I don't know how serious it is. There is talk that they could put the pieces together with Toronto. Toronto is resigned to doing a sign and trade, I think. You know, you start to look at Varejao. You start to look at J.J. Hickson, draft picks, other considerations, cap room. Cap room is going to be huge to Toronto. It's that one, that angle is not dead. It would depend on that.
The question is, Bosh has to be willing to play there. I mean, I know we've all assumed him and LeBron are teaming up, but we've heard Chicago, we've heard Miami, the Knicks. He may not want to play in Cleveland. If he is willing to play in Cleveland and you could work that out, then he's staying.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any question. If it comes out that Bosh is willing to go to Cleveland and you guys can match up on a sign and trade, then I think it's over. Then I don't think there's anything to debate because I think LeBron probably does want to stay with the Cavaliers.
And not only that, he has evinced a willingness, at least reading between the lines, to play in Chicago. So you have a hard time playing the climate card if that's the case. Chris Bosh would never go to Cleveland. He is interested in going to Chicago and dealing with their brutal winters, though.
Listen, when people rip Cleveland, it's not the weather.
I understand.
That's not the only reason people rip Cleveland. They just don't like the city.
Yeah. Just like that ignoramus Joakim Noah, who, again, career playoffs notwithstanding, is not a star, and I wasn't saying you were putting him on that level, but every moron that I hear is putting him on, they have Derrick Rose, they have Joakim Noah, they have, and I'm going, what the hell are you talking, Joakim Noah? Like, that guy's going to be a 2010 guy. Come on now.
I think when everybody's, think about it, when the Knicks fans talk about their team, they mention Wilson Chandler and Danilo Gallinari. What level is Wilson Chandler on? I mean, he's a nice player, but, what is that? I think every team, when they try to pitch how their team's the team for LeBron James, you just mentioned the guys under contract. I do it, too. Devin Harris, Brooke Lopez, Terrence Williams. Yeah, I mean, Terrence is a nice young player, but what the hell's he done?
Yeah, well, I'll take it a step further. I mean, you as a talk show host probably get calls from people who only know guys because of name recognition. Anybody talk about Joakim Noah for the Bulls is the same person talking about how the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl because of Tim Tebow. Noah had a nice college career. People know who he is, so he's going to be a pro superstar. That's kind of the
Joakim
lowest
Noah
common denominator.
Joakim Noah is a nice NBA player. He's not a star. I mean, I agree with you. He's not a superstar, but he's a nice NBA player. I think he's a better NBA player than Tebow is going to be an NFL player. I don't care what Josh McDaniel says.
I understand, but I'm saying that when you look at like the plus-minus numbers of an Anderson Varejao, who plays a very similar type of game, it's ludicrous. LeBron's been playing with that guy, maybe a better version of that guy, and that guy is being used as a selling point for another city. It just seems inconsistent.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand. The selling point's Derrick Rose.
Yes.
That's all you need to hear. It's Derrick Rose. That's it. And it's the ability to sign another max free agent. That's the selling point on the Chicago Bulls.
Well, the chemistry part of it, too, though, again, I agree with everything you said about Miami and the pitfalls. Again, in Chicago, who's the guy the offense runs through if those guys are on the court at the same time? That's
it's
like
a great
rotisserie.
I'm telling you, it's a very good question. That's why I don't think there's any slam dunk.
Yeah.
I think LeBron's really got to think about this. I mean, because, this is why, if you look at the Knicks, I know they don't have a great core. You know, it's not like going to Chicago is that much more of a certainty of winning a title than going to the Knicks.
Right.
I mean, think about it. I understand Derrick Rose is a tremendous player, and I know Gallinari and Chandler are at that, but both teams are selling it on, we're adding a max free agent with you. That's basically the selling point.
Right.
So I don't look, wherever LeBron goes, that team's going to be really good. I think we can all agree on that. Whether it's the Nets, the Clippers, the Bulls, that team's going to be really good. They may not win a title right away, but they're going to be significantly better than the way they were the year before.
Oh, exactly. I agree with that. And before we bring it full circle here on free agency and everything at midnight, now 3 hours away, I just want to take an opportunity quickly and ask you about this. The curse of Nexus, as we're sitting here now. First, they lose their best technician out of the bunch, a martyr to the PG-13 ratings. Now Wade Barrett's apparently been deported along with other guys in the company here, and rumor is Sheamus may not
be far behind. What?
What?
Well, Wade Barrett got deported? When did this happen?
Well, that's why he wasn't... Well, deported may be too strong, but he's having work visa issues. That's why he wasn't on Raw Monday night.
Oh, my God.
So he's gone. Apparently, the thing with Drew McIntyre last week was a shoot. The whole thing, you've been deported? That was like them acknowledging on here the work visa issues. They got the WWE Championship on Sheamus, who rumor has it could be not far behind. So what do you make of all this crap? Apparently somebody in the front office done audited paperwork.
I didn't know that, man. I've been too busy checking the NBA rumors to hear these wrestling rumors. I've been watching Raw every week, though. That's crazy, man. I'm ticked off at this whole Nexus thing anyway, because NXT, that angle, when it first started, was epic. It was freaking tremendous, and I even liked what they did with Bret Hart and then the Mysterious GM, and I love what they're doing with the Mysterious GM, how they have that stupid instant message sound, and then Michael Cole reads it. That stuff's great. But here's where they screwed up. Nexus. What the hell is that? What are they, like a Roman Empire? It's NXT and a nice ring to it. They get rid of Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever the hell they want to call him. That was a mistake, and that happened early.
Yep.
They have this great angle, and it seems like they're doing everything they can to ruin it. And if Wade Barrett's been deported, they're in a lot of trouble because he was like kind of the main guy, and I kind of like Wade Barrett, so... That's a shame, man, because finally, for the first time in years, they actually had an angle that was really compelling, and they're doing everything they can to screw it up, especially giving it a dumb Nexus name.
Oh, my God, it was like War of the Worlds the night that it happened. It was absolutely incredible, and I'll tell you what, they didn't learn their lesson from the World Wildlife Fund lawsuit, because methinks the lawyers at LexisNexis are having an itchy trigger finger right about now, Evan.
Yeah, you may be right about that, man. That's I don't understand why they just couldn't keep NXT. Just because they have that dumb show nobody watches anymore? I mean, change that. Change the show. Keep NXT and change the show's name. Don't change the angle, like the group's name. It was great.
Hey, remember, Evan, they are wild and young.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you got to love that right down to the music. Well, as we bring it full circle here tonight on this, now less than 3 hours from midnight, what's your gut feeling, if any, on where LeBron or any of the other top free agents are going?
I think LeBron James stays in Cleveland. I think Chris Bosh goes to Miami. I think Stoudemire stays in Phoenix. I think Wade stays in Miami. I think Boozer comes to the Boozer goes to the Bulls. I think Johnson stays in Atlanta. I think the Nets get David Lee and Rudy Gay and possibly pull a trade for Chris Paul. That's not dead yet. And I think the Knicks, the poor Knicks. I don't know who the hell the Knicks end up with. I think I just went through every free agent. So I think the Knicks get shut out and have to fill their roster with, like, Gilbert Arenas and guys like that. But that's how I see the big three. I think you guys are keeping LeBron. I mean, and when you think about it, from all the names I just mentioned, you're not really seeing much movement other than Bosh going to Miami and, Gay. And, I don't really see a lot of movement. I think Amari's going to stay. I think Wade, LeBron, I think they all stay. So I think all the build-up is going to be a little bit of a disappointment.
Well, if you get Lee and Gay, that's going to be very nice, my man. You already got a nice nucleus there. Those are some prime guys to fit in. Easily top 30 guys in the league, no question, I think. That would work out very, very nicely for you if that were the case. And, it's just this whole reshuffling in the league. By the way, if the Bulls end up with Boozer, that's going to be a little bit of a letdown in the sense that you got to believe he's behind Bosh and Stoudemire on their depth chart, right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you this, and maybe you think I'm crazy about this. As a Net fan, there have been a lot of rumors about Amari and Boozer, and I think the Nets are going to end up with a power forward no matter what. I think I prefer Boozer over Amari Stoudemire for this reason. Age-wise, I think Boozer's a year older, so we're not really talking about anything crazy. And B, Amari doesn't play any defense, okay? He's not a great rebounder, and he still had that serious knee surgery a couple of years ago. You never know when that's going to go. So I like Amari. I'm not ripping him or anything, but I do think if I had a choice between Boozer and Stoudemire, it's close, and I think I would take Boozer for those reasons I gave. Maybe I'm nuts.
Interesting. Well, you know, if Stoudemire played a lick of defense, that'd probably just put him in D'Antoni's doghouse anyways, wouldn't it?
So he fits in with the Knicks then.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Perfect for the Knicks.
Perfect stylistic fit with Mr. 140 to 139 there. But, well, I'll tell you what, Evan, you've proven persuasive. I will add the Nets back to the list of on the odds here, the FDH Lounge odds that we'll be posting at 12. I'm restoring the Nets there based on your arguments here tonight on that. As always, you know, plug anything you want to from WFAN, WFAN.com. I know you're doing the video blogs here on the WWE. Anything you want to put out there,
grab sure. You could follow the Twitter, twitter.com/Joe and Evan. I talk for Joe on that because he doesn't know how to turn a computer on. And let me just give this warning to Cavalier fans. The bigger jerk LeBron James is, the more selfish LeBron James is, the better chance it comes to my team. Because the Nets are all about ego. It's all about billionaire. It's all about icon. It's all about that. So you better hope that your boy isn't the selfish jerk Prokhorov's banking on him being. Because the bigger selfish jerk he is, the better chance he is coming to the Nets. Because they are going to stroke his ego like no other team can. Because Prokhorov will promise him the world, literally, and billions of dollars. And you better hope that LeBron James doesn't fall in love with that. Because if he does, he will be a Net. If he believes that stuff, it's over. He'll be a Net.
If Prokhorov can find a way to transport that house from Bath, Ohio to somewhere in the Jersey suburbs, I'll be sweating a little bit, no question about it. And by the way, there would be some small amount of irony, I must admit, as a Cavs fan, if he goes to play with a team that's got Brad Doherty 2K10 in the pivot.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, as a compliment. Brad Doherty was the boss.
No, it's a compliment,
man.
But I'm just, is that really what you, because I've heard a few people, a guy argued with a couple of weeks ago about that.
No.
You think that's what Brook Lopez is?
Doherty was the balls, man. He was a 2010 guy. I'm not talking about the back injury. I'm talking about
that's what I think about. I think about his career ending at such a young age. That's the first thing that jumps in my mind.
No, what I'm thinking about what I saw back in the day as a big Cavs fan. You don't know how, you're not thinking about how awesome the guy was. I'm putting your boy over there.
Yeah, you do. I didn't see him every day also,
yeah.
So I don't,
oh, man.
I guess I don't appreciate
him,
but I think of career ending early, and that's what scares me.
Oh, him and Price were just awesome, man. That was just, I mean, my two favorite players of all time, man. That was just some good stuff.
Well,
man.
Good.
But
I hope you think more about that, because if you lose LeBron James, that's all you're going to have.
Memories of a team that didn't get over the hump in 92 because Mark Price dribbled the ball off his leg in the Eastern Conference Finals. Not that I have any specific memories of that or anything.
No,
but,
and all the memories of LeBron James not being able to get over the hump because he was too busy thinking of Delonte West and his relationships with other people.
Yeah, Game 5 and all that. And, I don't think he's enamored of the prospect of playing for his potential future stepdaddy on the same team. So.
And, that's right.
We'll have to see how that shakes out. Evan, it's always a lot of fun having you on, my man. And our senior producer, Steve Cirillo, wanted me to remind you, we have our celebrity VIP fantasy football draft coming up next month here on the program. The previous guest here, Ben Lyons, is going to be in this sucker here, also representing NYC, albeit he's a Knicks fan. You know what kind of a creature that is. But
yeah, he's a Knicks fan for now. Not until the Nets take over the city. He'll be jumping ship like the rest of them.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got a link on our rundown here tonight at the FDHLounge.com. We linked to your Twitter page. We also linked to his. You should click that sumbitch. He's got LeBron in a Cavs jersey saying we're – or in a Knicks jersey saying where 2010 happens. So,
that's cute. Let him dream.
Ben's got his point of view. But, yeah, he's in on the thing. You have an official invite. We'll be in touch with you between now and then, but hope to be competing against you on the fantasy football gridiron this year.
Sounds good, my friend. And good luck to your team, because if he doesn't come to my team, we all prefer LeBron to stay with Cleveland.
Thank you. I hope it works out. I think it's more likely than the other scenarios, but only by an eyelash, and, you know, even that's only, what, 20% at this point. But you know what? It was only 20% we were going to get him in the lottery in the first place, so maybe it's fitting, huh?
Yeah, and it was a 25% chance we were going to get John Wall. We didn't, so we're loaded.
Ooh.
The basketball gods are lost, not you.
Yeah, lottery was not a good thing to mention to you. All right, Evan.
No. Have a good one, my friend.
Always a pleasure. People need to tune you guys in middays in New York and check you out on WFAN.com. Thank you so much, Evan. We'll look forward to doing it again sometime soon, my man.
You got it. See you, man.
Take care, buddy. Evan Roberts from WFAN in New York.